Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the BBM Global Network with 25 years in broadcast audio and video production. Our passionate team creates content and marketing for the world of internet talk radio. If you've got a passion, come join us at bbmglobalnetwork.com. The BBM Global Network, your voice is now heard.
Discover the wisdom and deep meaning from the everyday experience of your life journey. Welcome to Earth Walkways with your host, Darlene Rollins. Earth Walkways will help you love your life as it is and discover the hidden meanings and messages in everything that unfolds. So please welcome the host of Earth Walkways, Darlene Rollins.
Welcome to Earth Walkways. This is your host, Darlene Rollins, coming to you from boldbravetalk.com. And so, you know, happy equinox, everybody. We're here right on the cusp of fall. And it's also this time of balance and between the light and the dark. There's actually a little bit of discrepancy in exactly what that date falls on. But, you know, in general, the understanding is that there's a balancing out of day and night so that they are equal in duration. And this is a kind of image, a symbol for, you know, this kind of duality that is here on Earth and how we take that light and dark and turn it into a kind of good or bad, right or wrong, you know, like we divide it and separate it out in a way that's not actually natural to the way the world is. And so I want to talk a little bit on this particular day, you know, which is a good theme for us, about this understanding of, you know, how we bring these different principles of things like light and dark, hot and cold, you know, even pleasure and pain, and can work with them without dividing the world into a battleground, right, where we're, you know, fighting one and seeking the other and chasing after the other. So anyway, you know, Libra, it's interesting as we're going into the sign of Libra, is all about relationships, right? And if you think about it, what we're talking about is the type of relationship that we have to unfolding of life, right? To there's life contains everything. Life has, you know, dark and light, right? And places in between. And so in a way, it's how do we dance with that? And humanity as a whole, you know, has been working through and learning from a state of consciousness that we understand as dualistic, and particularly sort of the egoic consciousness feels this need to designate or delineate or discern, you know, if something is okay or not okay. And it's a kind of a defensive stance, right? You know, and also a kind of controlling stance. So it's an individuated, you know, like, let me try to make life in my image in the way that feels right to me. And so we have, you know, a lot of creativity and a lot of beauty and good things that have been created, but also it's where I think our negative creations also come from. And so part of this exploration is, you know, can we, you know, what does it take to, you know, work with the world and, you know, sort of not go into these polarizing opposites that have to go to war and destroy each other, you know, in order to, you know, proceed. There's something in nature, you know, in life itself that has competition and has, you know, elements of this, but at its base, it's cooperative. At its base, it's balancing, right? You know, it's always, you know, looking to, you know, give everybody a share, you know, and not always exactly when you want it, maybe, or, you know, where maybe there's imbalances that, you know, do occur in nature, and certainly humanity has introduced imbalances. But in some ways, I guess we are nature as well, and so there's a kind of, I think, opening that we need to study a little bit in how we can at least ground into a place where there's this acceptance of both and. So, you know, when we make it an either or, right, we end up in this kind of polarized thing. And the Pathwork Guide even talks about this, that sort of one of the movements that we make from the either or, you know, to get to the unitive state, which is like it's all good, right? You know, and the child consciousness says it can only be good, you know, if it's exactly how I want it. And so there's this, you know, movement of accepting some of life on life's terms, of accepting that there are forces that are beyond the control of the individual, and that we, you know, we go through them and maybe they're difficult, you know, but that in some sense we still grow, we learn, we gain from those experiences in ways maybe that we wouldn't if everything was always exactly the way we wanted it. So there's this opening of, you know, accepting life on its own terms that is always both and learning how to sort of dance with that doesn't mean that we don't sort of have some, you know, opportunity to influence it or, you know, act on it in a way that, you know, can further what we feel is a higher good in some sense or whatever, you know. So, but it's like the serenity prayer. It's like this way where we're really pausing and asking to know, you know, the difference between when it's right to try to change something and when we have the ability to change something, and when it's really what's needed is an acceptance of something as it is. And often if we can change it, you know, it's good to try. But that serenity prayer says, you know, the wisdom to know the difference and to have the ability to accept the things we cannot change. And so what does this mean? Is that like submission? Does that mean we're stuck with being, you know, the way that we don't want things? I mean, not exactly, you know, like in a way we have to stop resisting, stop fighting for a moment. And ideally, I think it's not like submission, but going to neutral, going to kind of this grounded place of reality that just says it is what is. And where we have that kind of acceptance of it, there's a relaxation in the being that then can open and receive intelligence, knowledge, wisdom, you know, awareness, understanding of the situation that has even greater capacity perhaps to, you know, positively influence it. You know, but if we are in the struggle, if we're not open, if we're not connecting to this higher wisdom, which is basically what the unitive state is all about, then, you know, we end up getting polarized and lost in the conflict. So the guide has a great lecture called Unity and Duality. It's 143, Pathwork lecture. And you can take a look at that. We're going to also be doing a discussion of it tonight live, and it'll be posted on my YouTube channel as well. So there's a way that this lecture really does, I think, speak to deeply sort of what's trying to happen in these times, because as I look at it, it really doesn't seem to be any way out of our current predicament, you know, like sort of by intensifying and repeating the answers that we've tried already, or the, you know, to just, you know, get more forceful or, you know, more fearful or more, I don't know, you know, it just feels like somehow we're trying to actually shift out of a certain kind of consciousness. And I think that the universe is trying to help us. And, you know, it was interesting because I realize now after being back from my trip that it was this month-long sort of opportunity to actually sort of naturally shift into this unitive state. I mean, I knew in order to do this, I needed to just chill and relax and not have a lot of shoulds or, you know, destinations or specifications or anything to it. And so I was allowed to just keep, you know, moment to moment sort of surrendering to what was. And even when it was like, you know, car trouble or something unexpected, you know, I was in this place where that was the natural thing, right? You know, and to wait to see what would happen. And I can remember a time when I used to get very emotionally volatile about all of those things, you know, and I don't know, like have a big fight with God or something, because, you know, it was always this argument about what had happened, the way things were, right? You know, so I'm actually grateful that I'm able to, like, allow more and more surrender to these things. And I keep noticing that when I do, then I get the support I need. Something happens that, you know, works out well. So even just yesterday, I was on the highway and had a flat tire and, you know, was not part of the plan. And I ended up having to lose a slot and with my chiropractor. But, you know, as I accepted it and started just taking one step at a time to see what could be done, a gentleman pulled up and, you know, he had everything I needed and he was able to help me. So, you know, including the air, because both the spare and another tire was pretty low. So if I really hadn't had, you know, like all of those things come together, but it was like just immediately after I had stopped, I had not even begun to get frustrated, right? You know, and what I knew how to do. So it was, again, in the surrender that I felt the support. And I don't know if I hadn't, you know, if I wouldn't have stopped or something, but, you know, there really does seem to often be a kind of feedback mechanism that I notice. Where I'm not surrendered, I tend to muddy the waters. I tend to, you know, often, you know, later on realize I was even reacting to something that wasn't exactly real. So I've just learned and try to practice, you know, not that I don't then act, you know, from a surrendered place, that may be an act that would, you know, attempt to change the circumstances, right? You know, get help, whatever I need. But that it's a kind of doing it from a different place, doing it from a place of calm, of trust, you know, of staying in the heart, you know, of staying connected in a way to faith. The Jonathan Goldman, one of my teachers, has this book, The Gift of the Body, and in the heart chakra, he talks about the layers of the heart field, you know, and so that etheric body of the heart is this place of calm. And then there's, you know, the space of compassion, right? You know, so when we get into uncharted territory and things didn't happen the way we wanted to, it helps to at least, you know, have compassion for ourselves. And oftentimes we try to figure out what we should have, could have, would have done to have not been in this situation, and we make ourselves wrong or somebody else is wrong, you know. And so it's like, it's better just to recognize, oh, it's an unfortunate situation. And so, you know, we're working with calm, compassion, and then faith, and then surrender. So we're about ready to have a break. I'll be back in a few minutes. This is your host, Darlene Rollins, coming to you from boldbravetalk.com. This is Earthwalk Ways.
If you seek a courageous advocate prepared to champion your rights with consumer service agencies that support aging populations, Carol Ann Hamilton is the one for you. Carol Ann is an elder care coach, author, and speaker with a 250,000 hours lived experience successfully supporting uncopable aging parents. As a result of a challenging journey, Carol Ann revolutionizes how stressed out caregivers restore serenity to their worlds. She also brings over 25 years of change management expertise in Fortune 500 settings to catalyze urgent transformation within the elder care industry. Carol Ann is a popular speaker at conferences across North America. She has appeared via TV, radio, and print globally. Now you can tune in weekly to get a dose of her inspiration plus down-to-earth advice to cope with even the most difficult aging parents. Listen Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Bold Brave Media and TuneIn Radio.
Have you ever felt like no one is listening or you're not getting the honest attention you deserve? Do you even know the kind of attention you want or need? You are not alone. Alice Aspen March is here to help. Thanks to Alice, through her epiphany and research over the word attention, there are solutions to the attention dilemma. Worldwide audiences have been enthralled and engaged for over 40 years with her visionary and pioneering observations. The kind of attention we get and give is vital to improving our lives and society. Alice and her weekly guests review game-changing insights for transforming and improving our understanding of attention, providing techniques for creating healthier and empowering behavior. Get a new perspective on a mainstream word. Tune into Why Our Attention Matters for fresh and thought-provoking conversations every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on boldbravemedia.com and the TuneIn Radio app.
So welcome back. This is Earthwalk Ways, coming to you from boldbravetalk.com. I'm your host, Darlene Rollins, and we're here on the equinox time, the beginning of fall, and we're talking about unity and duality. And it's a big, deep subject that we could do, you know, many, many sessions on probably. But I, you know, I was really aware that when I was on my trip, I was in this, you know, sort of open-ended journey. And in that, you know, the focus of goal was a lot more relaxed, you know. And so, you know, there was this way that I could really stay more in a unitive state and notice actually when I, you know, started judging or, you know, tightening around, you know, the way something was, right? And learn in that to sit back and relax again. And again, it helped a lot on the journey, and things unfolded in this kind of flow. And so I'm more aware now that I'm back, right, of this temptation in sort of my everyday workday world, you know, also to slip back into the duality and you know, feel, you know, something is not right or inefficient, or, you know, get frustrated with something online or people. I actually think there's like a kind of a double-pronged thing where I've been working a lot with my own sort of PTSD that comes up around when I can't understand or function well on the computer and have, you know, things work for me that I'm hoping that, you know, are going to work. And I'm realizing, you know, it does go back even to childhood kinds of frustrations in, you know, some of my ADHD and my inability to track things very well. But I also find that I think that when I think about it, I wish there would be some studies done around maybe what's happened in the world since we did go to these online systems and their kind of customer interface support, you know, customer support, customer service things, because it really has changed our relationship with corporate America in so many ways, and it's our primary interface with people through that. And so I worry about also the people that are on the other side of those call center calls, you know, because they really can't do a lot. It's set up so that people are already kind of frustrated getting in. And if you do have any PTSD like me, and I think many people do, especially older people that are learning this stuff, it may get more natural to others or something. But, you know, I think there really is a kind of human toll, psychological toll that's bigger than we know, happening, that really does have to do with also increasing the polarization that we have with each other. You know, I feel like, you know, I can dehumanize on the other side of that more, you know, the way the relationships are, you know, and because they don't work, they're not supportive, right? You know, it ends up feeling like it just needs to be attacked in some way. So anyway, there's a lot here, I think, that's both collective and forces beyond us, you know, so I really would encourage, you know, that studies be done about this kind of thing, because I think it is a mental health disservice to all of the communities that are reliant on these systems now. And then I also think that it's kind of like Watiko. It's either going to kill us or wake us up. So, you know, in the meantime, I'm using it, you know, as a way to kind of recognize and awaken into unity of consciousness, to recognize when I am reactive, when I am, you know, going into duality, and, you know, try to use it as a signal to wake me up. And I notice, you know, I mean, I'm often aware I'm there, but I often am not able to just, you know, pull myself out of it. So, you know, there's something in a way that I think sometimes in just being present and then feeling the aftermath, right? Because afterwards, you know, it's like energetically in myself, you know, I know, you know, whatever is being created in that situation is, you know, I don't know if it's passed on in the universe in some way. I think it feels like, you know, it's certainly in my field to some degree until I can, you know, clear it. And I think forgiveness, of course, is important. You know, I think it's part of how we do have to, you know, like slip and get lost in this stuff and then wake up and you know, release it, right? And open to, you know, accepting even that, you know, like, okay, so, you know, now we got lost in it again. So all we can do is, you know, learn from that experience. So, and everything like we were talking about can be, you know, seen ultimately as a, you know, both and, you know, every difficulty might have a silver lining, or, you know, there's, you know, everything is there in some sense. And I think resisting it in any way, you know, like, oftentimes we numb out or we try to avoid or, you know, and all of that. And so in that way, I think we somehow miss out on life. It really does feel like consciousness is here in your, you know, embodied in you. And so, and you have a particular life experience that you're undergoing. And I believe that undergoing, you know, has purposes in consciousness for you, that you learn from that in many ways, you know. And so, you know, there's a sense of accepting from that and just the reality that we live in a world where you can't, you know, death is here, right? You know, it's like death is in the midst of life. And, you know, it's more obvious to people in my generation as we approach that time. And I want to say, if anybody is interested in exploring life from the lens of death, which is a very powerful way of exploring life. It's a mystery school way, you know, it's been done in ancient times. So, you know, I want to welcome, and in the end of October, we're going to begin our Dying into Life program, which is a fairly extensive committed program. So if you want to really take a deep dive, it's going to be, I think, a good way for your own transformation now at this time, which is what I think many people are feeling the pull and the call to. So, but anyway, you know, what we want to do is work with this understanding of unity consciousness and duality consciousness to help us learn to recognize, you know, awaken up a little bit to see ourselves inside of the, you know, lake that we're swimming in. So basically the guide says there are two ways to approach life and the self, two fundamental possibilities for human consciousness, the dualistic and the unified plane. And the majority of beings live predominantly in the dualistic plane, where we perceive and experience everything in opposites, either or, good or bad, right or wrong, life or death. In other words, practically everything you encounter, every human problem, is shaped by this dualism. The unified principle combines the opposites of dualism. By transcending dualism, you will also transcend the pain it causes. So this is the invitation, right, to expand, to grow, to evolve in consciousness from a dualistic state into this unified state, which allows us to, you know, transcend the pain that the either or good, bad, right, wrong world creates. So whenever we're splitting the world into good and bad, right and wrong, et cetera, we end up taking a position and opposing other positions. And in some ways, this seems practical, moral, necessary from this egoic, dualistic plane of consciousness. If we didn't judge, how would we navigate and make appropriate discernments? How would we avoid mistakes in the future? You know, how can we correct and remind ourselves to be, you know, corrected if we don't, you know, punish ourselves a little bit when we feel like we did it wrong? How can we, you know, how can the unified plane really be a realistic place to function from? And does that mean that we just submit to whatever happens and not use our agency to change what feels like we can change? So we mentioned before, the Serenity Prayer is a good guide, right? You know, so it's not that kind of submission. And this unity duality question has been explored in all the great systems of the world, right? In the Tao, it is expressed by that symbol that has both light and dark, and it's kind of in these teardrop shapes that kind of give an impression of movement within a larger circle. And then each area, you know, has its opposite embodied inside of it. So the area of light also has a small circle of darkness. And the area of darkness includes a small circle of light. And so, you know, this is a beautiful representation of, I think, how also nature holds things, right? You know, and so even in the seasons, right, we go into, you know, the ending of the year, the closing of the year, and a time of increasing darkness, right? But it also flows into and would not work without this darkness back into light. So this is Earthwalk Ways. This is your host, Arlene Rollins, coming to you from boldbravetalk.com. have a break. We'll see you in a minute.
Dr. RC will share extraordinary resources and services that promote educational success as well as making a difference in the lives of all social workers as well as the lives of children, adolescents, and teens of today. She will have open discussions addressing many of the issues that we face about our youth and how being employed in the uniquely skilled profession of social work for over 18 years has taught invaluable lessons through her personal experiences. She will also provide real-life facts, examples, and personal stories that will confirm that why serving as a child advocate is extremely beneficial when addressing the needs of the whole child. Listen live to Dare to Soar, Saturdays, 10 a.m. Eastern on the BBM Global Network, and tune in radio as Dr. RC will provide thought-provoking information that will empower, encourage, and strengthen students, families, and communities across our nation. You can also visit her at soarwithkatie.com. According to the American Nurses Association, there are approximately 3.5 to 4 million nurses in the United States. So where do all these nurses work? What kind of roles do they have? What kind of education and training help to prepare them for so many different settings? What kind of impact do nurses have on patient outcomes? The World Health Organization has announced that 2020 will be the Year of the Nurse, honoring the 200th birth anniversary of Florence Nightingale. An international initiative called Nursing Now is underway to raise the profile of nursing. The National Academy of Medicine has convened a committee to create the Future of Nursing 2020 to 2030 that will focus on how the nursing profession can create a culture of health, reduce health disparities, and improve the health and well-being of the U.S. population. Learn more and join Joyce Batchelor on All About Nursing, Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on the BBM Global Network.
Welcome back. This is Earth Walkways, and I'm your host, Darlene Rollins, coming to you from boldbravetalk.com. And we're talking about unity and duality and, you know, how there's kind of two approaches we can take. We can see the opposites as oppositional, as opposed, as separate, and in a sense, you know, one's good and one's bad, one's right, one's wrong. Or we can really recognize that, you know, dark is good for some things, light is good for other things, you know, and even in the midst of darkness, there might be, you know, some light. And in the midst of the light, there is often darkness, so that we can sort of take a more balanced and interconnected, intertwined, rather than separate approach. And in duality, you know, they kind of like separate out and go to war, whereas in this, you know, there's movement and there's flow between them and transitional zones, right, that happen that also add to the beauty and the balance of life. And so it's like expressing this balance that's achieved in nature by the flow of experience that really does contain the whole and celebrates all aspects. And there's, you know, to every time there is a season, right? So it's like there's a season for every, you know, purpose under heaven, and all of these things are understood as good in their own right if we can understand them in that way. Now, of course, certain things it's hard to see that, but it's important really to go ahead and open to this possibility and look for this transcendent truth rather than the positional, you know, traditional cultural judgments that we might bear. So the guide says this about the unified plane of consciousness. You know, he says, on the unified plane of consciousness, there are no opposites. There is no good or bad, no right or wrong, no life or death. There's only good, only right, and only life. Yet it is not the kind of good or right or life that comprises only one pole of the dualistic opposites. It transcends them both and is completely different from either one. The good, the right, the life that exists on the unified plane of consciousness combine both dualistic poles. so no conflict exists. That is why living in the unified state and absolute reality creates bliss, unlimited freedom, fulfillment, and that unlimited realization of potentials that religion calls heaven. Heaven is usually thought to be a place in time and space. This, of course, is not so. Heaven is a state of consciousness that can be realized at any time by any entity, whether a human being in the flesh or one that does not live in a material body. The unified state of consciousness is attained through understanding or knowingness. Life on the dualistic plane is a continuous problem. You have to struggle with the arbitrary, illusory division of the unified principle through which things become opposites that impose conflicts. This creation of irreconcilable opposites generates a tension within and therefore with the outside world. And then what we resist persists. What we fight against uses our energy to become, you know, more powerful. But that doesn't mean we just ignore it. It's not that simple, right? It's in order to go beyond that we need to contact the real self and this other level of consciousness, right? So here again, the lecture on unity and duality, 143, speaks of this real self. It says, the real self, the divine principle, the infinite intelligence, or whatever you wish to call that deep inner center existing in every human being, contains all wisdom and truth you can possibly envisage. The truth is so far-reaching and so directly accessible that no further conflict exists when this truth is allowed to take effect. The ifs and buts of the dualistic state cease to exist. The knowledge of this inborn intelligence far surpasses the ego intelligence. It is completely objective. It disregards the small, vain self-interest. And this is one of the reasons you fear and avoid contact with it. The truth that flows out of it equalizes the self with others. Far from being the annihilation that the ego fears, that truth opens up the storehouse of vibrant life force and energy that you usually use to only a minor degree and which you misuse in directing your attention and hopes to the dualistic plane with its tightly held opinions, false ideas, vanity, pride, self-will, and fear. When this live center activates you, you begin your limitless unfoldment, a process whose accomplishments become possible precisely because the little ego no longer wants to misuse them in order to find life. The unified real self can always be contacted. Let us again return to our example. You know, the hardest act to perform, which in reality is the easiest act possible, is to ask, what is the truth of the matter? The moment you are more intent on the truth than on proving that you are right, you contact the divine principle of transcendent unified truth. If the desire to be in truth is genuine, the inspiration must come forth. No matter how strongly circumstances seem to point in one direction, you must be willing to relinquish and to question whether what you see is all there is to the issue. This generous act of integrity opens the way to the real self. It will be easier to follow through when you consider that it is not necessarily a question of either or, but there may be aspects of right in the other person's view and wrong in yours, and aspects that so far you have not seen because your attention was not even directed to this eventuality. This approach to a problem immediately opens the way to rise to the unified plane of existence and to be moved by the real self. It immediately releases an energy that is distinctly felt when this act is done with deep and sincere commitment. It brings release from tension. What you then find out is always totally different, both from what you hoped for and feared on the dualistic plane. You find that you are not as right and innocent as you thought, nor as wrong as you feared. Neither is your opponent. You soon discover aspects of the matter that you never saw before, although they were not necessarily concealed. You understand exactly how the quarrel came into existence in the first place, what led to it, what its history was, long before its actual manifestation. And with such discoveries, you gain insight into the very nature of the relationship. You learn about yourself and the other. You increase your understanding of the laws of communication. The more vision you gain, the freer, stronger, and more secure you feel. This vision not only eliminates this particular conflict and shows the right way to straighten it out, but it also reveals important aspects of your general difficulties and makes their elimination easier through this understanding. The vibrant peace that comes from this extended understanding is of lasting value. It affects your self-realization and your daily life. What I describe is a typical example of unified intuitive understanding, of knowing the truth. After the initial apparent need for courage and the momentary resistance to seeing a wider truth than the egotistic one, your path becomes so much easier than the struggle that ensues on the either-or plane of the dualistic life. So again, that's lecture 143 of the Pathwork lectures. Go to pathwork.org, and it's called Unity and Duality. So, you know, in my experience, our biology, our basic survival instincts and needs will always create a world of duality. And it is good to get our needs met, and it's painful and difficult to not get them met. And yet, you know, unitive consciousness is not really in denial of this. As the guide says, that, you know, it transcends this reality to arrive at the knowingness that rests in the flow, with the wisdom that sometimes life has hiccups or twists of fate or even major crises. And the best way to navigate those rapids is to relax into the current and not fight the river. It reminds me, you know, of a story that, you know, one of my teachers told about a journey that he was on at a workshop, you know, like they were doing a series of works in Brazil, and in preparation, the group had taken a walk in the morning, you know, down a canyon, you know, alongside of a fairly swift river that, you know, he said, even being the most fittest one there, you know, he's something, you know, like caused him to slip and fall four times into it. And each time it felt like he was going to go over the edge. And when that came, you know, the time came, his body just kind of went limp. He surrendered. And then in that moment of surrender, that he was able to navigate and find his way, you know, out of the current. So, you know, there's something in this teaching, right, that I think we're all trying to utilize, and he found it very helpful then in the, you know, was reminded of it in the ceremony later that evening. So there's a way in which, you know, we're really in this study of what does it mean to let go of our positionality, of our opinion, of our, you know, strong way of thinking. And I know it's like for some of us, there are, you know, like it's not about, you know, going past what you're willing to accept, right? You know, you have to work with it. But like the guide says, like, be willing to at least question and explore and see what's really there. So one of the, you know, ways in my own life that I keep, you know, sort of watching my reactions and opinions on a situation, you know, is a kind of negative and critical. And I see I'm often wrong. And even when it isn't expressed, I can still feel kind of affected by it. So we're coming to a break. So we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Earthwalk Ways. This is your host, Darlene Rollins, coming to you from boldbravetalk.com.
Have you ever wondered why some children recover from their symptoms of autism while others never seem to get any better? After 13 years of research, Karen Thomas has recovered her own son from his symptoms of autism naturally. She now shares how she did it with you in her free webinar so that you can have the right resources and knowledge to help your child. The definition of recovery is to regain health. Karen offers this to you in four stages: healing the gut, natural heavy metal detoxification, balancing the co-infections of autism, brain support, and repair. Register now for this free webinar to help you know what you can do to help your child to sleep better, be more calm, improve focus, and reach their fullest potential to live a happy, healthy life. Go to naturallyrecoveringautism.com/free workshop, empowering parents with the resources to naturally recover autism from a mom who's done it.
Mike Zorich, a three-time California state champion in Greco-Roman wrestling at 114 pounds. Mike, blind since birth, was born in Hartford, Connecticut. He was a six-time national placer, including 2 seconds, 2/3, and 2/4. He also won the Veterans Folkstyle Wrestling twice at 152 pounds. In all these tournaments, he was the only blind competitor. Nancy Zorich, a creative spirit whose talents have taken her to the stage and into galleries and exhibitions in several states. Her father, a commercial artist who shared his instruments with his daughter and helped her fine-tune her natural abilities, influenced her decision to follow in his footsteps. Ms. Zorich has enjoyed a fruitful career doing what she loves. Listen Saturday mornings at 12 Eastern for the Nancy and Mike Show for heartwarming stories and interesting talk on the BBM Global Network.
Welcome back to Earthwalk Ways. This is your host, Darlene Rollins, coming to you from boldbravetalk.com. And we're here on the beginning of fall, in the medicine wheel of life, on the seasonal medicine wheel that we often follow in this program, because it's you know, really teaching us these deep wisdom teachings that are, you know, founded in the natural world and are conveyed in all of the great systems and philosophies and religions of the world. So, you know, they're all actually really connected with this deeper observation of nature. And so, you know, we recognize that there are different seasons and different movements of life that happen to us. And I think many of us that can look back, even at the bad times, you know, may recognize that it was something that you learned from, or maybe you wouldn't change it, you know, if you could go back and change it. So, you know, there's ways that I think wisdom comes with age, and age comes with this perspective as we, you know, gain looking back and really recognizing that, you know, what we thought was one thing turned out to be something else, you know, what we judged, you know, and everything like that. It just opens our minds as we go. And even when we're proved right, you know, it's like there's another, you know, level of examination, right? Because oftentimes, you know, we can only see what we believe. And so, you know, again, we're being asked to open our minds in a big way here to work with this unitive level of consciousness. And so what I do is just keep watching my own reactions, right? You know, especially, you know, my own self-judgment or judgment of situation or other. And, you know, just sort of at least ask, you know, okay, what is the truth here? You know, what is the universe maybe trying to, you know, help me navigate, right? I sometimes believe that I have more trouble on the computers because it's, you know, it's partly an interactive effect, right? And so I'm needing to be challenged in that way to learn to accept and surrender if everything always worked perfectly on those things, you know? And then each time I learn more about them, you know, and I have a kind of stubborn resistance about, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with it all. But, you know, as we go forward, we're just working to, you know, look at whatever the conflict is with a human being, with it's all about relationship with an event in your life, you know, and find the peace that passes understanding that, you know, can bring that into a unified and unitive state of acceptance, of this deeper understanding. And like the guide says, we do often, you know, really recognize why it unfolded exactly that way, why it had to happen that way, you know, why, what we contributed maybe, you know, even, or just how inevitably, you know, what we're here learning, you know, had to bring it out. So it's kind of like a larger soul perspective, not just the ego, you know, like, and so life should look like this, but, you know, life looks the way it looks because you're a unique soul and that soul is getting a unique lesson in, you know, some very important, you know, study that you chose to bring in with you. And so if we can at least open to that kind of perspective, right, and I find that helps, you know, expand this unit of possibility, right, to go out into the soul journey perspective. And I've spoken before about how the pathwork talks about, you know, we really do have some say, supposedly, in what we encounter, you know, but when we're here, it's we're sort of in a 50-50 realm within our own self, right? And so we have a lower self that is part of survival. We have our lower chakras, you know, our root chakra, our survival chakra. We have our second chakra, which is our needs and our desires. And we have our third chakra, which is our individual self and our, you know, sense of, you know, who we are as unique and, you know, in an individual situation. So all of that, it, you know, has to be harmonized, has to be unified. It's not like it's a one or the other with the higher self, which is, you know, the heart, which is the, you know, communication of truth, which, you know, space of forgiveness and gratitude and, you know, the truth of the unified plane in the crown chakra. So, you know, all of this opens up into, you know, ideally as we're going through this passage in the world right now, to open into, you know, transforming all of us and opening up our, and integrating and balancing and unifying, you know, the higher self with the lower self. So, I want you to know I've got a bunch of new offerings that are up on my website, are trying to get up on the website. If you go to humanitix.com and look for Earthwalkways or Darlene Rollins, that might be a good option too. But earthwalkways.com, I'm supposed to have a feed and they're supposed to be getting it fixed. Another one of my fun things with technology. But I think you might enjoy looking at what we have to offer this fall. So give us a call, come for a retreat, and keep going with your practice of opening to what is. It's like a mantra, noticing what is and allowing what is. Okay, so this is Earthwalk Ways. This is Darlene Rollins coming to you from boldbravetalk.com.
This has been Earth Walkways with your host, Darlene Rollins. Listen each week and connect to the natural world in a shamanic and mystical way. Here on Darlene Rollins, Earth Walkways.
You've been listening to the BBM Global Network. The ideas, views, and opinions of this broadcast are those of the participants of the program and are not necessarily the ideas, views, and opinions of the BBM Global Network Company.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.